A blessing. And it was a blessing I didn't fall when I tripped just then, too. Goodness. Wouldn't that have been a way to celebrate my 20th anniversary? Fall face down on carpet on the platform. But in the 20 years, I've fallen off of the platform, down on the floor. I've done a little bit of everything, but thank God we're still going. Brother Bruce, that was a wonderful song. Thank you, son, so very, very much. Open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 23. Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23. It is hard to believe that today we're celebrating our 20th anniversary as pastor here at Trinity Baptist Church. It seems as though it was just yesterday. Until I start looking at pictures. And I thought when they were showing the videos and I saw the young me and the person I am now, and I thought, look what they've done to me. Oh, goodness. Having found your place in Acts chapter 23, would you please stand? And we shall begin to read the Word of God together. Follow silently as I begin to read in verse number 1. And Paul earnestly, beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Annas commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. And then Paul said unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commendest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, Revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. Now, two things to notice here. Number one, Paul teaches us that it's not wrong for Christians to say, I am wrong. He smote, or he said to the high priest, the high priest smote him. And he called him a whited wall. He rebuked him. And they reviled him. They corrected him, said, "This is the high priest. You don't do that." And Paul said, "I didn't know that he was the high priest. I didn't recognize and realize that." So he apologized for doing wrong. Secondly, don't run around and live your Christian life in disguise. People ought to know that you're a Christian. You don't have to wear a sandwich sign that says, "I'm a Christian." Your testimony, your talk, your lifestyle, your walk, your dress, your appearance, your attitude, your spirit ought to be different than the unsaved world, because Jesus Christ lives in you. Verse number 6, the Bible says, "But when Paul perceived the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, 'Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question.'" Now, Paul was a wise man also. Those that were opposing him, he recognized who they were, Sadducees and Pharisees. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees did not. They believed that when you died, that was it. That's the reason they were sad, you see. And Paul right away recognized the difference and the difference in their doctrine, and he divided the crowd. He stood up and preached the resurrection, and he divided the crowd. Now that's the good thing. The bad thing is half of them were against him also. "And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. And the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, 'We find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel hath spoken to him, let us not fight against God.' And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and to bring them into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome.' And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul." Now we've read to you a part of the story here dealing with the situation that he was in. He was going through a terrible, terrible time of difficulty. And I want you to know, in the midst of his difficulty, in the midst of his trial, in the darkness of his night, the Bible says, "And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome.'" I want to use that statement, "be of good cheer." 5 times in the scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ used that statement. And I want to use his statements, the statements of our Lord, to preach a message, a 3-point message today, 3 cheers from the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, help me this morning as I bring this message, and I pray that you would use it to bring conviction to the heart of the unsaved, that they might trust Jesus as Savior. I'm asking you, dear God, to save every unsaved person hearing my voice today. Help them at invitation time to walk down these aisles and publicly profess their faith in Jesus as their Savior. I'm asking you to work in the hearts of those that are seeking your guidance and leadership about a church home, that the Holy Spirit of God would guide them and lead them and draw them, that they might make this place the place where they serve you and live for you, and give themselves a testimony for Christ's sake. I pray for those that are going through tough times and dark trials, that you'd use the message to be a great encouragement to them, to those who are alone, those who are living alone and living, Lord, with burdens and fears, that you would use the message to bring great comfort and consolation to their heart and to their life. Now, I need you today, and I thank you in advance for filling me with thy Spirit, for every soul that will be saved and every life that will be touched, and for every decision that will be made for Christ today. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The statement, "be of good cheer," appears 7 times in the Scripture. As I said, 5 of those occasions, the Lord Jesus used that statement himself, "be of good cheer." On 2 other occasions, it was Paul that used them. In our Scripture story for this morning, we've read the story of the Apostle Paul being in a heap of trouble. The Scripture story reveals Paul on his 5th visit to Jerusalem since he had been saved. And during the years of his missionary service, Paul had won many Gentiles to the Lord Jesus. And because of this, and because of his preaching of the gospel, many of the Jews, the unsaved Jews, hated him and stood in opposition to him. At this time, he had returned to Jerusalem and had been there for about a week at the time of the story that we've just read. He had returned to fulfill and complete a vow in the temple there at Jerusalem. Now, I believe, and it's the belief of others, many others, that Paul had taken at one time a Nazarite vow. And at the conclusion of this vow, it required him to go into the temple, shave his head, burn his hair at the altar, and make an offering of a lamb according to Numbers chapter 16. Now, let me say to you that I believe Paul was wrong in doing this. Now, yes, I commend him for his character. He had made a vow and he was going to complete it. But he was no longer under the law. Bible tells us in Romans 10:14 that Christ is the end of the law to all who believe. He was now under grace, and he was no longer obligated, according to Old Testament scripture, to fulfill this vow. Christ had fulfilled it for him. Paul had been warned not to go up to Jerusalem. He had been warned 3 times in the book of Acts by the Holy Spirit himself, Acts chapter 21 and twice in Acts chapter 22. He had been warned by his companion in ministry, Luke, not to go up. Now, my personal opinion, and that with a dollar won't even get you a cup of coffee, I think Paul, being in the flesh, wanted to fulfill this vow so he could reach some of the Jewish people there in Jerusalem. But nevertheless, good intentions that contradict Scripture are still wrong. And I think Paul was wrong. Now, I think Paul was moving at this time in the flesh, not the Spirit. The Spirit had said don't. Paul did. And I think he was wrong. Now, in that bad scenario, there's an encouragement. If Paul could struggle with his flesh, then you and I don't have to feel like a failure when we do. The greatest preacher and the greatest Christian in the New Testament, if he struggled at times, then don't feel like you're a nobody and you're a worthless failure when you struggle from time to time. Thank God we have a God who is able to forgive us and restore us and use us again for His glory. He never threw the Apostle Paul away. You read Romans 7, Paul struggled over and over again. He said, that which I ought to do, I do not. That I know right, that's right to do, I don't do it. And on, he said, oh, wretched man that I am. If Paul struggled, you can be sure we're going to struggle at times also. So learn that. And learn that God is greater than our struggles. He's greater than our flesh. He's greater than our failures. And don't you ever get tired, or don't you ever make excuses, and stop going back to God and cry out for forgiveness, and He'll forgive you and help you. Now, while there in the temple, Paul was recognized as Paul and taken captive. And they planned to kill him, according to Acts 21:31. Soldiers and centurions took him and bound him with chains. And even while he was bound with chains and in danger of being killed, he preaches the gospel to his captives. He tells them how Christ saved him and how He'll save them. And while still in great danger of hurt and harm, he's put in bonds. He's held overnight as a prisoner. And that night, in the deepest, darkest night, when the storms were raging around him, the Lord stood by him. Amen. The Lord met with him and said, Paul, amen, be of good cheer. Amen. Cheer up! I'm with you! Don't give up! I'm with you! Don't give out! I'm with you! Don't lose faith! I'm with you! Be of good cheer, Paul! I'm still in charge! Be of good cheer. For my message today, I want us to look at three reasons the Lord made this statement. Be of good cheer. First of all, the first time our Lord uses the statement, be of good cheer, it is the cheer of forgiveness that He's talking about. In Matthew chapter 9, verse number 2, the Bible says, Jesus said, and behold, they brought to Him a man sick of the palsy, laying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins are be forgiven thee. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Now the story is about a man who was sick of the palsy. He was bedfast. Jesus did not say to him, be of good cheer, from this day forth you'll have perfect health. Now, the guy was sick. He didn't mention his sickness. He said, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. You see, the greater need of this man's life was forgiveness of sin, not perfect health. The promise of bodily healing and good health offers no comfort to a man strapped in an electric chair about to be executed. The promise of healing and perfect health has no great hope and encouragement to the man who's about to die and go to hell and spend forever without God. The greater need of our life is forgiveness of sin. It's to be saved. Amen. However, if the warden came to that prisoner strapped in the electric chair, about to be electrocuted, and said to him, be of good cheer, I have a pardon for you, then he'd have something to shout about. He's going to escape death. He's going to escape the penalty for which he deserved. He had been pardoned. He could have shouted because he had been set free. May I say to you, that's exactly what happened to us. We were guilty in our sins. We were lost and undone. We were on our way to a Christless eternity in a devil's hell to be judged in the fire forever and forever, where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. And Jesus gave us a pardon through His, God gave us a pardon through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Oh, my dear friend, Jesus puts more emphasis on the spiritual than the physical. This man was physically sick. Men had to carry him, had to bring him to Jesus. Jesus didn't say, be healed. He said, be of good cheer, thy sins forgiven thee. Oh, my soul, it's more important that we be saved than have perfect health. It's more important that our sins be forgiven than to never have another sickness. What good is healing if we're going to hell? Oh, my soul, the need of knowing Jesus. Physical healing is wonderful, but greater than being healed of the most dread disease is to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and be forgiven of our sins. Amen. Dear child of God, you possess a treasure if you're saved. Amen. Your salvation is of greater value than the riches of this world. That could not be purchased with the riches of this world. The fact is, if we took all of the wealth of multimillionaires like Ford and Hunts and Kennedys and Rockefellers and Gates and Waltons and the Perots, and we added to that all of the wealth of the sheiks and the kings and the princes of the oil-rich Arab world, and that wealth combined together could not purchase 30 seconds of salvation and forgiveness of sin. But Jesus can say, when we put our faith in Him, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Oh, what a treasure we have. The treasure of hearing those words from the lips of our Savior and Holy Writ are of greater value than all the riches of this world. Be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee. If you'll ask the Savior this morning and accept Him by faith, believing He died for your sins and rose again for your justification, He'll make you this promise also. He'll save your soul today. He'll save to you as you come to Him. Be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. The cheer of the forgiveness of sin. And then secondly, the second time our Lord uses these words, be of good cheer, He uses them as the cheer of companionship. The cheer of companionship. Over in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 27, the Bible says, straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. You see, if you look at the scripture, after He had fed the 5,000 with a little boy's lunch, Jesus commanded His disciples to get into a little ship and cross over the Sea of Galilee to the other side. And the Lord sent them straight into the midst of a terrible storm. There in that storm, they rowed. They did everything they knew to keep that boat afloat. And the waves were filling the boat. They were afraid they were going to sink and they were going to die. They didn't think they could survive it. Then in the midst of the storm and in the darkness of the night came Jesus walking on the water to them. And out of the darkness and the raging waves and amidst their fears of death and dying, Jesus spoke to them. And He said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And He spake, and the waves lay down, calm at His feet. In 1978, while struggling in full-time evangelism, our first year, at the end of that first year, my total income was $5,678 for the year. We live below poverty level in America. We were struggling. We were in a storm. My wife and I and three daughters were at home. That's four women to buy hose and hairspray for. that already extended the limit of everything I'd earned that year. I found myself in the midst of a storm-tossed sea. I was overwhelmed with financial darkness. I could see no way out. I was afraid, and I felt as though I was about to drown. And one night, in the middle of the night, family asleep, alone with the Lord, I read this story from the Scripture. And the Lord came to me that night and comforted my heart. I didn't hear an audible voice, but as surely as I stand here before you today, I heard the Holy Spirit in my heart speak these words to me that night. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Amen. That night I sat down with a piece of paper and a pencil, and God gave me these words, just for me in my storm. As the disciples crossed the sea, they were faced with adversity. When the storm clouds gathered round and the waves rolled high, they were filled with an awful fear, for it seemed the end was near. Then out of the storm, a voice said, it is I. Be not afraid, it is I. Though the waves are rolling high, I'll calm the angry sea with just a word. And through all the storms, the trials and tears, through all the heartaches and the years, be not afraid. Be not afraid, for it is I. Oh, dear Christian, listen now. Though in soul you're burdened down, the storms of life seem more than you can bear. Listen closely through the night. He is there in all His might. And from the storm you'll hear Him say, be not afraid. It is I. Trials are going to come to every Christian's life. There'll be heartaches, sorrows, burdens, and strife. And yes, there'll be times when the storms of life beat against your soul and you'll go through valleys, dark and cold. Oh, but child of God, however great your storm may be, when the valley is so dark that you cannot see, just remember, you're not there alone. The Master's always nigh. And if you'll just listen and watch and pray, you'll hear your Master say, child, be of good cheer. Be not afraid. It is I. In our text verse, in the midst of his tribulations and trouble, Christ was with Paul, and he said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I'm here with you, Paul. I've got a purpose for your life. Be of good cheer. And just as with the disciples, and just as with Paul, if you, being his child, will cry out to him in your darkness night, if you'll cry out to him in the midst of your storms and sorrows and trials, he'll be with you. He'll be your companion in time of trouble. He'll be there to guide you safely through the storm and through the trial and through the heartache. He's there. He cares. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We don't have to face our crisis alone. He's there. He's always the honest Christian's companion in labor and service. If you're backslidden, you're cheating on God, you're running from God, you're living for the devil, don't expect his presence in the storm. But for the honest Christian, he's there. Be of good cheer. Be not afraid. It is I. He's always our companion in times of sorrow and suffering. He'll be with us and stay with us, though we may be accused or abused by the world and the devil. I'm simply saying to you, don't give up. Don't give in. In your darkest hour, he is there. In times of greatest need, Christ is there. In times of your greatest fear, he is there. Learn to trust him. Learn to depend upon him. Always obey him. And he'll be there with your every situation. And you can hear him say, be of good cheer. Be not afraid. It is I. And thirdly, the third cheer from our Lord is the cheer of victory. The cheer of victory. John 16:33 says, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Peace in the midst of tribulation. Victory. He did not make Christians to be failures. He did not save you to live a life of a failure. God, there are no homeless children of God. You have a home if you'll yield yourself to His will. You don't have to live alone. You don't have to be abandoned in this world. He is there with you. And you do not have to end your life a failure, because we have victory in Jesus Christ. Victory over sin. Victory over the grave. Victory over hell. Victory over this world in Jesus Christ. You say, "But how about all the homeless people that say they're saved?" May I say to you, people who are choosing to live that kind of life are choosing to live outside of the perfect will of God for their life. Because God has made possible for us to be victorious in our Christian life. Now, I'm not talking about those who are sick. I'm not talking about those who have mental problems. I'm talking about Christians who have chosen to live the way of the drunkard or the dope addict or the whoremonger or the vagrant because they're lazy or don't want to work. If they're saved, they don't have to live like that. We have victory in Christ Jesus. He has a will for our life that's a victorious will. If we'll walk in His word and walk in His will, walk in His way, we have victory. He said, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And because He is the great overcomer, He's made it possible that we be more than conquerors. We be overcomers in our life also. Here is the Christian's greatest need in this old wicked world: peace and victory over this world system. Everything about this world is going to try to pull you down and pull you away from God. But thank God, He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. We are more than conquerors. We have victory in Christ Jesus. So cheer up, child of God. Be not afraid. Be of good cheer. Jesus has provided victory for His children. We've been battered by sin, buffeted by Satan, bullied by the world, and to hear the Savior say and to read His promise, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world," gives hope to the hurting soul. Because He has been victorious over this old wicked world, He has made it possible for us to live victory lives in His victory. He's won the victory for us over sin, death, hell, and the grave. Listen, if you would, just turn in your Bible to 1 John. 1 John. Look at chapter 2, verse 12, 13, and 14. The Bible says, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake." He didn't say because you were so good He forgave your sins, but our sins are forgiven for His name's sake. "I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." We are more than conquerors in Christ. We have been given victory over sin, Satan, and this world through Jesus Christ. Amen. Look at John 4:4, 1 John 4:4. "You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than is he that is in the world. There is one that living in us, who is above us, that's greater than those around us that are trying to destroy us." Thank God, God the Holy Spirit who lives in us is greater than this world. Look at 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Amen. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Simple faith in Jesus Christ means this world is not our home. Our sins will not condemn us. Hell will never get hold of us. We have been saved, forgiven. Heaven is our home. We have a life to live here, a life worth living, and a future to look forward to in Jesus Christ. Cheer up, child of God, because we've been given the victory in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. Now in Romans chapter 7, Paul is going through all of that process of talking about struggling with the flesh, what he ought not do and what he's doing and what God wants him to do and what the flesh is leading him to do. And he cries out, oh wretched man that I am. Then in chapter 8, oh my soul, he says, what can separate me from the love of God? Amen. Then he closes out that great chapter by saying, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him, through Jesus that loved us. Amen. Be of good cheer, child of God. Every enemy that's against you, God has given victory over them through Jesus Christ. You don't have to succumb to Satan. You don't have to be destroyed by the world. You don't have to be wasted by sin. You don't have to be consumed by your peers. God's given you victory in Jesus Christ. If we'd but claim that victory. All of these things over things on the earth, in the earth, under the earth, angels, principalities, all those things that would seek to destroy the Christian's life and hinder you from living victoriously. God has made you more than conquerors. Be of good cheer, child of God. Be of good cheer. Let me conclude. As Christians, we have something to shout about in Christ. Amen. Be of good cheer. Amen. Your sins are forgiven you. Amen. Be of good cheer. We have a companion that sticketh closer than a brother in our darkest night, in our greatest storms, through our greatest difficulties and trials. He is there. Be of good cheer. Amen. Be of good cheer. Because in Christ we have victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave. We have victory over the flesh and over this world system because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Do you know him today? Are you trusting him today? Are you living for him today? Be of good cheer. Be not afraid. Jesus says, it is I. And may I say to you, he's here this morning. He's here this morning ready to forgive your sin and save your soul if you'll come trust him. He's here this morning to calm your fears and calm your storms if you'll but cry out to him. He's here today to give you victory over struggles and heartaches and burdens and habits and things of this world that are trying to destroy you. If you'll but cry out to him and draw near to him. He says, if you'll draw near to me, he'll draw near to you. He's ready. He's waiting on you. Do you know him as your Savior? If not, trust him today. Do you know him as your companion in your daily walk? He's there waiting to walk with you and talk with you and go with you. Do you know him in victory over those things that are trying to hinder you in your Christian life? You can have them in Jesus Christ if you'll but come to him and let him have your life. Heavenly Father, that's our message this morning. Help us, Lord, to claim that promise, be of good cheer. Help us to claim that promise and cry out, oh,